Good morning. Let us start with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you. Thank you for a beautiful day, Lord. I want to thank you that your mercies are new every morning, Father God. Lord, we welcome your presence here, Lord. I pray that whatever that comes out of my mouth, Father God, I'll be of you, Father. Anything that is not of you, Lord, I pray that you'll refrain me from speaking, and also people will not register the things that are not of you, Lord. Lord, we want to thank you. We welcome you here. In your Son, Jesus Christ's name, I pray. Amen. So, we are continuing to go through the seven letters that Jesus wrote to the churches in the book of Revelation. Previously, I shared that these letters have four levels of applications. The first level, local. These letters were written to actual historic churches with valid needs and issues which needed to be addressed for those churches at that time. The second, a warning to all churches ecclesiastically. In each of these letters, there appears a key phrase, hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Note the plural, churches. Each of these letters apply to all churches throughout history. And the third, personal. Each of these letters also contain the phrase, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. All of us at least has one ear. This applies to us personally as well. So let the Holy Spirit speak to us. Also the fourth, prophetic. The most amazing discovery is how these seven letters have an apparent prophetic application. These letters also describe with remarkable precision the unfolding of all subsequent church history to this day. So like previous sharings, I will continue to talk about the personal application of these letters. So far, I've gone through three of the seven letters. The first letter was to the Church of Ephesus, where the word Ephesus means darling or desired one. And Jesus was telling that church how they have lost their first love, and they should come back to the first love. The second letter was the Church of Smyrna. Smyrna, which means myrrh, the spice that was used in embalming and releases its fragrance when being crushed. Jesus was telling this church that he knows the persecution they are going through and for them to stay strong throughout, and how the crushing or persecution has brought the special fragrance and unity within the church which was pleasing to him. The third letter, which was shared last time, was to the church of Pergamum. Pergamum means objectionable or mixed marriage. Jesus was telling this church to be aware of the doctrines of Balaam, and be careful on false teachings, and don't let greed bring idolatry and compromise within the church. And today, we will be on the fourth letter. Jesus wrote this letter to a church called Thyatira. So let's turn our Bibles to Revelation 2, and we will read from the verses 18 to 29. Let's see what Jesus has to say for this church, and let the Holy Spirit reveal to us how we can apply this teaching of this letter on a personal level. Revelation 2:18 to 29. And to the angel of the church in Thyatira write, the Son of God, who has the eyes like a flame of fire, and his feet like burnished bronze, says this: I know your deeds, and your love, and faith, and service, and perseverance, and that your deeds of late are greater than at first. But I have this against you, for you, that you tolerate the woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, and she teaches and leads my bondservants astray so that they commit acts of immorality and eat things sacrificed to idols. I gave her time to repent, and she does not want to repent of her immorality. Behold, I will throw her on a bed of sickness, and those who commit adultery with her into the great tribulation, unless they repent of her deeds. I will kill her children with pestilence, and all the churches will know that I am he who searches the minds and hearts, and I will give to each one of you according to your deeds. But I say to you, the rest who are in Thyatira, who do not hold this teaching, who have not known the deep things of Satan, as they call them, I place no burden on you. Nevertheless, what you have, hold fast until I come. He who overcomes and he who keeps my deeds until the end, to him I will give authority over the nations, and he shall rule them with the rod of iron. As the vessels of potter are broken to pieces, as I also have received authority from my Father. And I will give him the morning star. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Amen. So Thyatira is located within the modern-day city of Akhisar in Turkey. Among the seven cities, Thyatira was the smallest and the least important, which Jesus addressed in the letters. It was a small city located further in the Lycus River Valley, about halfway between Pergamum and Sardis. It was basically a dot on the map compared to other cities in the Asia Minor. The only positive thing was that this city was located on a major road of the Roman Empire. Yet, the message to Thyatira is the longest of the seven messages. Given its location on a major road, Thyatira became an important business and trade center. There were carpenters, dyers, sellers of goods, tent makers, etc. With that, the city became a place where it had many active trade guilds. Everyone who worked there was a member of one or more of the trade guilds. These trade guilds are like today's trade unions. It was for the purpose of protecting the workers so that they have a voice in the commercial world. So if you are a trader or a worker in those days, you'll be joining one of these trade guilds to protect your own rights and to gain advantage in business and trade. The issue with these trade guilds were that each trade guild has their own Greek or Roman god, which they worship. So for traders or workers to be protected, they will have to participate in pagan rituals to be part of this guild. Thyatira was also known for the manufacture of a purple dye. Actually, in Acts 16, verse 14 to 15, there's a mention of Lydia of Thyatira, a convert to Jesus Christ, who was also a seller of purple cloth from that city. It was difficult to make a living as a Christian in Thyatira without belonging to these guilds. The name Thyatira literally means continual sacrifice, and this will be one of the factors that dictates the theme of this letter. In this letter, Jesus started off describing himself as a son of God. In Jewish thoughts, to be the son of a thing meant having the same nature of that thing. So Jesus basically was describing himself as deity. This is the first and the only time in the book of Revelation Jesus called himself son of God. Then as the same as the previous letters, Jesus described himself with a unique description from chapter 1. This time he described himself as the one who has the eyes like a flame of fire and feet like burnished bronze. Jesus was describing himself as eyes that can look through the heart of people and their motives. Brass in the Bible represents something that is pure. It also emphasizes strength, as brass in those days was the strongest known metal. Jesus' description was basically telling this church that he can trample sin under his feet and his judgments are always fair because he can see through the hearts and motives of people. This actually is also a great reminder to us personally that Jesus can see through the hearts and motivations of people. The encouraging thing is that he also describes himself to be who is someone who is fair. Do you feel people are treating you unfairly? Do you feel that your voice is not heard? Don't worry, leave it to Jesus. He'll take care of it. Then Jesus continued with commendation to the church. Although there was a great deal that was wrong in the church of Thyatira, yet Jesus commanded them for certain things. In verse 19, Jesus was telling this church that he knows their deeds or works and how they have been loving, faithful, had a servant heart, and a church that perseveres. The church was doing amazing things at loving others. In some Bible translation, the word is used is charity. It must have been a church that had all sort of ministries and outreaches. Since it was a trade hub, I can assume that there were marketplace ministries as well, that people reach out to other non-believers. But like what Pastor Joe mentioned during the anniversary weekend, we cannot love others without loving God first. We need to have the intimacy with God first. Then from that intimacy, the love overflows to people around us. No other church has been commended for their love among the seven letters. So there must be something they have been doing good in this area, which pleases our Lord. And I assume the intimacy with God would have been amazing as well. I can imagine this love and intimacy must have led the church to be a vibrant with people who are serving, which also another thing God commended was their service. For sure, this church was not a social club where people came and just to receive. They were all doing their part and serving one another. Then another aspect Jesus commended was faith and perseverance. The word perseverance literally means to remain under. The church had the ability to hang in there. They were people with perseverance. They did not throw in the towel when things got tough. They had the fortitude and tenacity. Being able to have faith and perseverance requires an understanding of God's sovereignty. If we know that God is in control of our circumstances, then we can keep going. For we know that God is working out the situation according to an eternal plan. With Thyatira being the center of all these trade guilds, I can imagine the difficulty of believers had to face in those days. In order to make a living, they had to be belonging to one of these guilds. But attending and become involved or being pressured to be involved with worship of idols and activities was another thing. So they had to make a choice. It was difficult to live in Thyatira for this very reason. It must have been tough for those believers to say no with the risk of losing their trade's income. But they didn't give up. They remained true to their faith no matter what. Let the Holy Spirit speak to us. Here was a church that had many people that loved God and served His people. They had faith in His word and they persevered. They helped many and they keep it up. As others got involved, the church must have grown. If you and I had been at the church of Thyatira, we would have been greatly impressed by this church. It was a busy, bustling, active church with some wonderful people in it who obviously manifested love and faith, concern and care for others. It must have seemed to be a very attractive church. But now, the blazing eyes and feet of Jesus also reveal something that is more than superficial. Jesus pointed out issues with this church in verse 20. He said, "But I have this against you, that you tolerate the woman Jezebel." Jezebel could have been a real person, but most likely it was referring to a spirit or a way or teaching of Jezebel. So who was Jezebel? From the Old Testament, Jezebel was the daughter of King of Sidon, a town in Lebanon. She was the wife of King Ahab of Israel, the northern kingdom. And she is particularly noted of having the worship of God Baal popular in Israel. Baal was a fertility god, and his worship involved immoral practices. There were temple prostitutes, both male and female, associated with the worship of Baal. It was Jezebel who spread that degraded worship widely among the 10 tribes of Israel, until it became one of the most popular religions of that day. She herself supported over 800 prophets of Baal who ate at her table. She was also the one who tried to kill Elijah after his famous encounter with 450 of the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel when fire came down from heaven and consumed the sacrifice. That mighty man of God who faced 450 false prophets with courage, but when Jezebel got after him, he ran for his life. She was also the one who murdered her neighbor Naboth because her husband wanted the vineyard. She was a ruthless, immoral seducer of people. According to the prophecy of the Old Testament, Jezebel ended her days by being thrown from a palace window into the courtyard below where the dogs came to aid her body and licked up her blood. It was this kind of Jezebel teaching that was spreading within the church. She taught that it was right for Christians to indulge in sexual immorality and in idolatry. It could also very well have been connected to the trade guilds, where the teaching of business is business. If business practices collide with your Christian principles, then your Christian principles must go, because you have to make a living, right? This kind of worldly or corrupted teachings were permeating within the church. And remember, these letters were written to the angel of churches, which can mean church leaders, pastors, or people that are in charge to take care of the flock. Sadly, the church kept quiet and tolerated such teachings and behaviors. Fortunately, not everyone was in this church was following this Jezebel spirit. There were those who stood firm to the Christian principles and trusted God's sovereignty and providence. Jesus told them that they will not have to bear the burden. But for those that practice Jezebel's beliefs, God is so gracious that he still gave them time to repent. But if they don't, there will be consequences of their actions. Now can I invite Marcus over? So like being a believer in those days, being a believer today isn't easy. Every day we are bombarded with decisions in our jobs, schools, social activities, even during our free times, to make a choice to whether to stay true to the word or stop persevering altogether. To those to choose God's way or the world is telling us, or to do what the world is telling us. If we choose God's way, Jesus promised us that who overcomes and keeps his deeds until the end, he will give authority over nations and will give the morning star to us. In Revelation 22:16, the morning star is identified as Christ himself. The morning star is the one that appears just before the dawn, when the night is at its darkest. Is your life going through some tough times or dark times? As I shared at the beginning, the name Thyatira means continual sacrifice. So keep persevering. The sacrifices you made will not go unnoticed. Jesus, the morning star, will always be there with you in all circumstances. Don't let the world mold you into something you are not supposed to be. Hold on to the promises tightly. Be victorious and don't give up. Are there any areas where we are letting the world dictate our actions or who we have to become? Let's pray and ask God to reveal any such areas in our lives. And ask God to bring us back to the altar where we continue to be a living sacrifice. So let's pray. Thank you. Yes, Lord, we are grateful that you are there with us for all the circumstances, Father, that we face, Father God. Also, Lord, we thank you that you know that things that we are going through, Father God. Lord, as we sometimes feel that we swim against the current, Father God, it is tiring. But God, you are there, the morning star, to brighten our day, Father God. Jesus, we want to thank you for reminding us to continue to persevere and not to give up on your promises, Father God. Thank you that as long as you are with us, everything is fine. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Yeah, so let's turn our attention to the community prayers. Let's pray for our community members who are going through cancer, chemotherapy, and all surgeries. Pray for healing for all of them. Let's pray for our community members who are sick, but also needs to hear the word of Jesus and have salvation in their lives. I pray that, yes, Lord, that all of them will have a supernatural encounter with Jesus during these tough times, and they'll have peace and comfort. Let's turn our attention and pray for the people of our community with infirmities. Let's pray for the community of people who are looking for jobs. So pray that as they seek for the new careers, that at this time they will also have quality time with God. Let's turn our attention to the mission focus. Let's pray for North Korea and open doors for ministry for that country. Also missional opportunities and partnerships in Asia. And pray for all the persecuted churches, especially in the Middle East. Let's lift up our SP weekend gatherings. Alpha, which is starting today. Pray for Holy Spirit to come and fill this place today. And for people that are searching for Jesus, and they'll find Jesus will show up in their lives. Soften the hearts of the people that are hardened. Pray for PMC, GIC, prison outreach, drug rehab outreach, migrant workers outreach, Sunday services, Noah's Ark, worship and hospitality, SP Youth, Yahweh, SP IN services and activities, and all meetings. Let's lift up the house churches that are meeting today. Fortress, House to House, Mawan, Southside, Tavistock, and Westside. Pray that they'll have a great time of fellowship and also studying the word and the messages. Thank you, Father God. Thank you that again for the reminder that you are with us no matter what. And thank you that we have this confidence and faith that wherever we go, the moment that we step out of our houses, of church, or any place that we go, that you are there with us, Father. Lord, continue to remind us, Father God, about your faithfulness, Lord. We are weak, but you are strong. We are faithless, but you are faithful. Lord, we ask for your love and mercy to permeate in all of our hearts, Father God. Lord, we want to thank you. Bless the rest of the day, Father God. In your Son Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen. So have a blessed quiet time, and see you guys next time.